This meeting is being recorded. Please click here if you wish to exit. So if anybody wants to leave the room, you got to click that. All right. Since it's gone now, you guys are mine for the next hour. Walking around is okay, Mark? So, I hopefully won't touch my shirt. So people throw stuff at me if I start playing with the microphone. All right. Good morning, folks. My name is Michael Mukalian, recently awarded SharePoint Services MVP for 2010. Here to help out. No, the classic no applause, just throw money. Or just throw stuff to wake me up because it is 10 a.m. on a Saturday. And, you know, I'll say this throughout the talks and you guys will hear this throughout the day. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And another thank you for showing up on a Saturday. It's going to be like gorgeous 60-some degrees out and you guys are stuck in a university learning all about .NET and specifically SharePoint in this track here. So it's folks like you that come out and do this kind of work and promote it through the community and stuff that really make things like this really work out. Bill had initial numbers like 800 people registered this for today and 60 speakers, 60 tracks. So this is all about you guys. Thanks for all coming out. Really appreciate it. Today's chat is going to be around building SharePoint 2010 features and solutions, what they call packages now, with Visual Studio 2010. You saw a little bit of this in Satish's talk earlier. Looking at the SharePoint tracks today, I think it's actually got a Visual Studio flair throughout the entire day for SharePoint. With 2010, developers, you know, were remembered, I guess if I could say it that way, right? You saw a lot of the integration that Satish showed you earlier with 2010. I'm going to show you some stuff now. How many developers in the room, SharePoint? Wow, cool. IT pro? Information workers? So you wear a sombrero, right? You don't wear one hat. You wear one that goes all the way around, right? That's pretty much how I do it. Today I have my Phillies hat on. Go Phils. So first, thank our sponsors. Thank you. And a real quick overview. We're going to talk about solutions and features again. So with the developers in the room, how many have done feature and solution development? How many thought in 2007 and 2008 it was a bit of a pain in the butt? Oh, wow, all the same people. Say again? Large? Okay, there you go. 2010 now rolls it all together. It integrates this stuff. So the stuff you saw actually in the early talk around testing and build and all that stuff is integrated into VS 2010. Packaging them as well in VS 2010 has really helped out a lot. So what we're going to do is we're going to go through a number of examples of simplistic SharePoint projects, custom field item, content type, list instance, list definition, and an event receiver, and how they all roll up into a solution and package. The terminology and such and the objects aren't different than 2007, outside of maybe they call a solution a package now and package a solution. The confusion there was Visual Studio had a solution, so now how many times can you say solution? Redundant equals redundant. So we'll go through a lot of the features in VS, show you those examples, and do a bit of a walkthrough. As this is a code camp, I try not to have too many different slides. We'll do a lot of demo heavy. If it goes a little too quick or I mumble or I don't make sense, again, just throw not so hard objects, but anything to wake me up. We'll go through development for requirements, considered elements of a SharePoint project when you spin it up in Visual Studio, stuff related to the feature node designer, package node designer, the packaging explorer, like you saw, solution explorer and teams explorer, some demos and add some reference links at the end. Questions? So, a little bit of an overview, as I was just talking about, with the introduction of VS 2010, feature and package development now integrated into the IDE. So, before where you had the, you know, new XML, feature.xml, grab GUID, grab... I thought I made my sacrifices this morning. I guess I should do a little bit more. I thought the sponsors would take care of that. Okay, so let's spin this one up again. Let's start this one rolling. That should tell me I had a little bit of an issue again. Hopefully that by no means reflect upon the quality of the presenter, speaker. Let's start this up. The reason why I have two VMs running is originally you can't, there were issues installing SharePoint on DC on a domain control. So with the RC in the beta, you had a separate DC, and then you have another box or another image that's called your SQL or SharePoint. Some people do three, so DC, SQL, SharePoint. There are blog entries, a couple of the guys' names kind of come out of my head right now, but they have workarounds to do it all in DC. The ever popular unplanned. Let's just leave it at that and say, I don't know. Wonderful spin up. So let's leave it right here real quick. So maybe it's taxing some video kind of stuff. So from a development standpoint, Visual Studio 2010 professional or higher. I don't know if Satish talked about the different SKUs and stuff, but it's professional. There's professional and there's ultimate, and I forget what's in the middle. Premium. Ultimate right now is available via download for some of the folks, even the beta as well. Ultimate wires up everything. Architecture, dev, database developer, team tester, all that stuff. That's what Hassel Satish had all that junk come up on his, not junk, sorry, all that stuff come up on his IDE. So I'm going to be running, again, Ultimate here as well. SharePoint 2010 Foundation or Server, again, 64-bit for your machine. 64-bit Windows Server 2008 or 2008 R2. And then you can also do SharePoint development on Vista SP1 or Windows 7. So that kind of opens up a little bit the type of development that you can do. I know in a number of different companies, places where I've worked, and maybe some of you guys have worked as well, installing development tools on a server machine is, you know, the general no-no. So you have to go through, like, you know, an specific or explicit, you know, type of request process to get that approved. So this kind of helps out in terms of development. The challenge with that is sometimes a lot of the companies aren't even there yet, right? So you still go with the server. I still like going with server as it is, because then you're almost assured from a developer, tester, cat, prod type of thing, you're in the same environment. You're not developing on one and deploying on another, right? So this kind of still makes it a little bit more consistent. Plus, if you have, like, your virtualization software, like the Hyper-Vs kind of stuff, you can still run with that and not have any worries. Farm admin rights as well, because you're doing a lot of back-end processing, you're doing a lot of STS-ADN commands within the tool, or even some PowerShell stuff to deploy your solutions and that kind of stuff. Cool? Questions? No, not for 2010. So 2008, maybe I should have bolded that out, right? 64-bit across the board. End of discussion with that, right? 2003 had 64-bit as well. So what we've been doing a lot once, you know, I've been working in the industry, and people can chime in as well. This is very interactive, hopefully, especially when my stuff goes down. So when the prereqs first came out for 2010, last year, end of last year, they started saying what you would possibly need, or even kind of validated at that point what you would need to go to a 2010 standpoint. We started pushing people to have their 2007 implementations, even if they were new, onto Windows 2008. Right? Because it's a lot easier to do an upgrade or migration when your OS is already there, theoretically. Right? So Windows 2008, SQL 2008, SharePoint 2010. Right? Questions? Cool. Elements of a SharePoint project. And a lot of this stuff may look a little bit familiar to you, specifically in earlier Satish's talk. So you got your project file, the little properties node, you have the references node, and then these three things are key. Key. You have your features folder, which is basically a folder or node that shows one-to-n features that you're playing with at that time. Package folder shows you everything that's part of that WSP, that solution package. And then you have a key file, which is your strongly named key, normally for your DLLs that either get deployed to the bin or the GAC. Okay? And actually, let's see if my virtual spun back up. And we can try and get into a little bit of some demo stuff. Verify I can log on here. My ID here, SPF admin, is a farm admin. Incidentally, has anybody been playing with 2008 server? So you, right away, you got to start thinking about new password schemes because 2003 kind of lets you put in whatever you want. And then when 2008 came along, you had to have a relatively strong password now. So you got to come up with a good little algorithm that you can remember consistently. So this guy's up and running. Let's close this window. Let's say we don't know why. He won't hurt me. And let's see if I can RDC into this. Well, the difference is it's not man, right? I mean, you had like WSP Builder and SDS Dev and those guys that facilitated that, but they're almost like considered third-party product kind of stuff, right? This is all wired into the IDE. So everybody familiar with the whole F5 deploy? F5 deploy, right? Awesome for development, not awesome for production. But, you know, you kind of understand that, right? Nobody wires Visual Studio up to production, right? Right? Because I've seen some crazy stuff, right? Everybody say right. There you go. So this environment here, as long as it doesn't freeze again, no reflection upon the OS, sorry, will wire up my Visual Studio solution to deploy to my local SharePoint servers. Everything's running on one box right now, aside from the domain controller. So this box is SQL Standard, SharePoint Server Enterprise, Visual Studio Ultimate RC. Beck will bring that up right now. One of the things you'll notice when you first fire up Visual Studio 2010, and this remembers what I was working on before. You guys remember to connect to TFS, the previous talk. SharePoint development. This won't come up if you don't have SharePoint bits. So your project stuff won't appear. So when I want to do a new project, right away now, if you folks have been doing Visual Studio development for SharePoint, you see a difference right away, right? So I got, you know, the classic empty project plus a whole bunch of other project items and types available for 2010, right? This is cool now. How many times do we have to do this manually and feature and package this up, right? Just to refresh our memories about our painful points. Did I click it? Oops, wrong one. Silverlight's not painful. There is a difference, right? State and sequential. That's all you can do. All right? Go forward to 2010. We're never going back, right? Okay, sorry. I'm very active with my hands. It defaults to 3.5 when you start doing the SharePoint work. Yeah. So what we're going to do here is we're going to create right now a blank project. Philly.net CodeCamp 2010.1C, because we've been playing with B. Cross fingers. All right, cool. So first things first, where do you want to start doing your debugging and stuff, right? So I already have SharePoint installed. I have all the bits already installed on my server. I need a site to play with in order to do my debugging and development and back and forth stuff. So you pick it right there. Deploys a sandbox, as Satish talked about in the previous talk, or you can do it as a farm solution. Stuff I'm going to show you today requires a farm solution because it has to be deployed there. Content types, site columns, that kind of stuff. So we'll stick with the farm solution. You could. Split it local site. Right now, so then if I do this here, I can try it out. I wouldn't think why not to, but if it specifically says local site, one would think just specifically on this box. So. That access to my servers at home, I can validate and see if it goes over the wire, but we won't do that. We're kind of like low on luck as it is with this thing shutting down. So it's going to go through that, wire it up. Blank project. Everybody's familiar with this stuff, right? So let's show all a little bit, because I like showing all in my Visual Studio project. And all that brought up was the bin and the object file. So right away you see a little bit of the changes here. So everybody's familiar with your solution node, your project node, that kind of stuff, my properties, references. But you got two of the new nodes we're talking about now, features and packages. So right away, this is starting to wire up the existing code in XML that I will be putting into this project here. Okay, so, and then it gives you a key file already for that. So let's throw in a site column. So when I say add new item, I'm in a 2010 project, no 2007. Here's all the stuff I can play with now. Right? You saw a lot of this when you brought up like WSP Builder and the SDKs and the extension for the VSS and things like that. All these things we can play with now, all these things are wired up in the VS 2010. This is cool stuff. Right? We're going to put in the empty element because right now there is no specific project item type for a site column. It's basically just a one-liner as it is. So we're going to say empty element and add. Bingo, it threw in an elements file. Everybody knows when you have your elements file for your features, it usually starts with an elements node, right? And then everything inside of it is what's different. Your field columns, your content type, that kind of stuff. Can everybody see that? You guys cool? So what we're going to do here is we're going to add custom field item. Maybe I should bring it down just a tweak. We can see a little bit. So let's do this. We'll do that there. So for the dev folk, which is pretty much everybody that raised their hand here, right? So my elements file for this site column that I'm creating has a GUID that I pasted in already. The type, it's a note type field. The name of it, session name, display name, session space name. You guys know the reasoning why you had the two of these, very specifically from a querying standpoint. When you're trying to query for a specific field, it goes after the internal name, not the display name. So maybe put a space in the internal name to kind of screw stuff up, so they get to glue those together. Let's save this. Close that out. Here's my feature node, right? So I double-click on feature one. I now have a graphical slash wizard representation of my feature XML file. Before you had to code and all wire all that up now. So I'll show you what we used to have, right? So what we used to have was that. We write that on our own. We'd always have to remember the order and all that kind of other junk, right? Well, yeah, well, come Monday, right? So April 12th, I think VS is coming out. And I think that's the RTM drop for SharePoint and Office. So let's say feature one is our, you know, we'll call these site assets because we're going to start doing some columns and types and things of that nature and say feature example of site assets, right? My scope, I can deploy this to the scopes or pick the scopes I want. Pardon me. Right now, no items in the solution. Items in the feature right away. My feature XML, I used to add my elements file. Does it all for you now, right? So I look at this again, like we just talked about before. You save this first. The manifest. There it is, right? You scroll all the way over to the right. There's the title I just gave it. The description I just gave it. Wait for it. Specific GUID, right? And then the scope. So how do we deploy this to the SharePoint box, you may ask? Awesome. It's like you're reading my mind, right? The ever popular F5. One-stop shop, right? It's deploying started. You got to read the box, right? Adding solution. No errors. No whammies. Activating. Deploy succeeded. Voila. Come on, I got 8 gig in the box. Yeah, so while that's spinning up again, Dell XPS M1530, 64-bit, 8 gigs of RAM, 256 SSD. the SSD, so I don't have to run my stuff on an external hard drive. It's really probably taxing the machine, which is probably why it shut down from before. So we're still connecting, and the reason why it's taking a little bit long is, you know, just-in-time compile, first time spinning up the site. Right? Right. Got the URL, right? Hey, team site. Hey, ribbon. Hey, welcome to your site. All right, so this doesn't look any different than what we had before, right? So real quick, whenever we deploy features, we know that we have them in our site settings areas. You guys remember the scope? What was the scope I said? So he's a little quick. So he said web. So web, and they still have that. Scope to web means website. Scope to site means site collection. Remember that? So manage site features. Bingo, look at that right there. Right? Boy, that's a really ugly looking name now that I see that in print. So Philly.net CodeCamp 2010.1, feature one site assets, feature example of site assets. So it got installed and activated, right? Let's see if it's here. So we played with a site column. So we go to the site columns gallery. You guys remember my field implement or field information had that as the group, Philly.net CodeCamp 2010. So it created my group. We know that's there. Let's filter on that. There's my session name field item, right? So what we just did was used a few wizards, write, add new item, put in a couple other things, boom, I got my feature, I got my package, and I'm all done now. So a lot of other times you'd have to write this manually, script the deployment. You'd either have a deploy.cmd and undeploy.cmd and upgrade.cmd, or like a lot of the other posters have out there, you have a custom Visual Studio target build file, right? So you pick the one you want, deploy, you know, build and deploy out. This does it all for you, right? Now, here's what's really cool, right? So icons down here. I'm still running Visual Studio, right? I'm in my website. This brought it up. I'm debugging, right? So let's close this out. Look down here. Recycle my app pool for the site. Retracting solution. Retract succeeded. So just so I'm not doing a little bit of smoke and mirrors, let's go back here. And let's hit, you didn't see that. It's supposed to be Bing, sorry. Well, we're going to show you that. So the whole idea here now is that session we just had, all that stuff's now integrated, not only deployment, but retraction and removal as well. Right? So I'll spin it up again. We go directly back to our site columns. No longer there. We go back to the website features. No longer there. Well, the way we deployed it before was, you know, I'm doing my debug, F5 go. I can do a manual deployment if I wish to. So if you look in your project here, not active yet because nothing's not checked. It gives you options to specifically push them up and pull them out. All right, so you can do that manually as well. So let's look at our element again. So this is pretty much what I just put in. Paste it in, right? Here's my group name. My feature contains that. My solution, which is called package now. So my package or my WSP contains this stuff. Already wired up for you, right? If I look at the manifest again, there it is. The assembly that I created, it popped in already, right? Where it's going, the GUID at the top, manifest location of my feature. Now, you can tweak this manually, too, if you still want to go back to the whole 2007 days, right? Challenge there is when you start editing it, here, if I click this, and I won't click a yes. Once you click yes, you own it. So you now are manually playing with that from that point on, right? So it's not going to wizard it up for you or anything. So play with this a little bit. I've been still playing with it as it is. So far, so good. It's a lot easier to wire up all your code and everything so far. So let's throw in another example. Otherwise, click no. No. Dead. Correct. Correct. The question was, this combination does not work with 2007. So Visual Studio 2010, SharePoint 2010 to do this type of implementation. Okay. 2007 and VS 2008, you had your extensions, you had the other SDS dev, you had the WSP builder, right, all that stuff. Consider all that stuff kind of like wired up or baked in now, right? Any other questions? Sir. So, good question. If you used Visual Studio 2008 and you have the extensions installed, I believe it's 1.3, right? You'll be able to migrate into 2010. It'll read all that stuff up because you're using the MS project types that they've built out, and it'll facilitate that. If you do not have that, it'll still migrate, but you're on your own. Right? Not all the wizard, not that kind of job. That's a very good question. I do not know. I have not tried that. The question was, are InfoPath forms integrated into this? And actually, let's try this out, right? Don't read my email. I just saw that pop up. So if I go add new item. Nothing here as of yet. Granted, this is RC. They could be adding a whole bunch of office stuff, right? But for right now, I don't see it in this list. We have, you know, content types, event receivers, definitions. This is really cool. Definition from an existing content type. Right. Okay. Excellent. So you know that'll probably come in with the additional project item types. I know there's power tools coming out for SharePoint after the fact. There's a whole bunch of other stuff coming. Again, this is RC. The look may even change come Monday, right? Yeah. Hopefully not, because you're all getting used to this. Wouldn't that just be great to just flip everything right to left? So let's put in another one. Let's go put in a content type, right? So let's back up. The SP data file basically tells SharePoint information about that element file, right? So I just pulled in a generic element from when I picked it. The default file's elements XML, supported trust levels, supported deployment scopes, pretty much information about that one piece of that one file, right? And then there's our schema. Project item model. No, the feature IDs are the GUIDs within the feature XML file. So every time you do a build, it's not going to regen that. You'll get one the first time you get a feature, and that's it, right? That would kind of stink, though, if it kind of did that, and you're trying to go against one you're always looking for. Pain in the butt. So let's add our content type item. Follow my script. Yeah, I was kind of up late. Pay no attention to the little guy behind the counter. So this is going to ask me right away, what am I going to model this against? So in this instance, I'm going to make it relatively simple. I'm going to click a list item. But these are all the ones. Remember, when we first started up our project, we wired up the Contoso 2. So all the content types available on the farm are now available for me to inherit and build on top of. Right now, this is all the out-of-the-box ones because we haven't done any work yet, right? So we're going to play with the item. Look, this is cool. I mean, you know, easily excited. It's 10 o'clock. I'm still punchy from last night being up late, and I only had one cup of coffee. One, it tells you right away what you inherited from at the top. You guys remember Jen in that? OX01. OX01's item. OX0101 document, I think. I didn't remember them all. Right. This is the really cool part, right? You guys remember this? Base, double zero, GUID. Did it for you. Easily excited, right? I mean, but that, you don't have to worry about that. You don't have to stop what you're doing. You don't have to go over here and pick a new GUID and pull out the hash marks and brackets and does it all for you now. Based on the name I just gave it, it gives me a generic custom content types group, my content type, etc. Right? So it does all this stuff for you. So the only things you usually change are, you know, we're going to call this one, we'll just call this one item because we were playing with that, right? So we're going to call this one, play.net, CodeCamp 2010, custom content types. And the description is, we'll do the same thing here. Like, we'll get real technical and say description. So right away, I'm based off of my OX01, which is item, which just has title, right? We had created a site column or field element before. We want to add that to this guy. So let me pull him back in. I do prepare a little bit. So here's my field reference for the session name. Oops. Didn't recognize my mouse. Bingo. Okay, so what do we have here? We have here the GUID of the item that I used to create my site column, and then its internal field name, right? So this is saying, I'm inheriting from item. Oh, by the way, add this guy. So let's just save this up again. Now, so what do we see in our feature? Let's double-click the node. Oh, look, already added. All that stuff wired up for you. All right, so created my field element, created my content type. Remember the GUID, move back over here, create the new node, paste the stuff in, go back over here. What was the name again? Oh, I got to come back and do this. Gone, right? Facilitates a lot better productivity in what you're trying to do, okay? From a package standpoint, still the same thing. This is my, you know, manifest, but here's what's in my feature again. My feature contains all this, or my package contains all this. Oh. So let's save that. Let's do the ever popular F5. Cross fingers. Build, started, deployed, adding, et cetera, et cetera. Activating, deploy, succeeded. Loading symbols. Feature stapling. So from what I found in my workings, feature stapling is still a bit of a manual process. So you still got to create that specific XML manually. But there's another example I'll show you about dependencies, which is a little bit more wired into the IDE. Sir. You can put multiple features in one solution. Yes, that still works like it always did. Right? In fact, well, let's get through this one and I'll show you an example of that too. So we're back to our site again. We know from a feature standpoint, our website features still has PDN CC 2010 there, right? So we're cool there. We go back to our settings. We know, again, previously we created a site column. And did it retract? Let's try that again. Yeah, I just closed the window. Let me try that again. You know, I can always say RC, and that kind of makes everything okay. But not really. So let's try this again. Site actions, site settings, manage site features. There's our site assets. We go to the site columns. All right, he's there. Phew! Got me scared for a second. But my session name is still there. That wasn't there before, right? I didn't miss that. Okay. Now we said we added a content type. Custom content type. There's our item right there, right? Click into it. It was based off the item parent, OX01, and all we do is add session name. Again, if I click in the session name, I get all the information around my one item. I'm going to close this out now, and it's going to go through and retract and undeploy and all that other happy stuff going on. So as you continuously add assets, site columns, content types, workflows, event retrieval, things of that nature, and I'll show you a couple more examples like list definition and things like that, how it just automatically wires the stuff up. From a productivity standpoint, this is very key. So you're not hunting, pecking, notepad, copy, all that kind of stuff. Right? So the question that Dr. Kellerman had, I can always add, I can always add a feature. And it increments it. So actually, let me move that out of the way now. I'll just add it. So If I can walk over here. Feature 1, feature 2, feature X, feature Y, feature Z, all the way down. All right, I can keep on adding. It's part of the same. It's part of the ultimately the same package, right? So the package is going to wire all that stuff up. By definition, I can have as many features as I want in the solution. And there's different schools of thought around: do I always do one-to-one? Do I put multiple features in one solution? Do I group it by like a business type of context? Yeah, there's different stories for different ways of doing that. It's personal preference. Here's another cool thing that's kind of like a byproduct. Now that we're in Visual Studio 2010, the full IDE and stuff, and everything's kind of integrated, you get everything that VS is integrated with as well, and I don't have any on the box, specifically source control. That was one of the key features for doing solution and feature development. All right? You still take advantage of that here. There? Really? Now, what happens is it'll be integrated if you have, like, TFS, things of that nature. I don't have anything TFS-wise in this box. Yeah, but they're not going to go anywhere. I didn't write the tool. Not my, you know. It may be a great outcome the next rev. So if you have, like, Team Foundation, Subversion, that kind of stuff. So let's fire up another example. Let's do a list definition against what we just talked about here. And what I'm doing is building upon this site asset to show you how relatively easy it is to wire that all up from a feature and package. Again, this was a relatively manual process. Nowadays, come Monday and after that, it's a lot better. So what I'm going to do here is add new item. And again, we get our list here. You need to do just a normal list definition, or what they call a list definition from content types. So it's going to pick the content type that's out there, or one of them, and fire off the process to create my list definition from that. So we're going to name it that. We'll just leave it as a default. What content type you want to play with? This is the one I want to play with anyway, because it's the only one in my project. And then down here, I can say fire out a new instance as well on top from the template. So here's our elements XML file for this new guy, right? And if you guys remember from doing your development before, this name here has to be the name of the folder that it's in, right? 2010 now has this concept called tokens. Consider them like, you know, resource type of variables where you can add them to the project and it changes it on the fly come deployment. So in this instance, this would be SharePoint.projectItem.name. There's a link at the end of my slides. We didn't, because this is all about code, not slides, right? So there's some reference stuff at the back of my slides that tells you where to go for more information about that. Yes? It's a token. Token. So the question was, what is that specific item called? It's called a token. So there's a number of tokens that are available to be used throughout development. There's a link to that at the end of my presentation. Specifically, what this one does is it takes the name of where I'm in, and it uses that come deployment. So I don't have to kind of remember what the name of that list definition one was. So if I change it, it kind of corresponds. Okay. Because one of the issues was before was wherever you deploy it, you have to remember the name of the folder. So if you change that, you got to change it here. This facilitates that. So now, actually, in, if you look at it here, do not change the value of the name attribute below. Oops, we just changed it. If it does not match the folder name of the list definition, project item, an error will occur. This fixes that. Okay? Not fixes. It allows you to change that. Not necessarily broken. So actually, wrong one. We just built this on top of an existing content type. There. There's our field ref, right? So it wired all this stuff up for us. So we kind of don't have to worry about, in a sense, yeah, you go back to the whole school of thought, well, I really want to know what it's doing. So 2007 and VS 2008 kind of helped us learn and understand what's going on behind the scenes, because you kind of had to do it, right? This stuff kind of wires it all up for you. So when I say this, and I look at my packet or feature, all my stuff gets added again. Let's look at the manifest. Manifest is just adding stuff away, right? I F5 this. Hopefully our site column will still appear. The application pool. Cross your fingers. Thinking. Hey, look, there's our instance. You guys remembered in our wizard that it came up, checkbox at the bottom said also create an instance of the list we're playing with. So that's what that is. If you go into the list, based off the item just had title, but wait, we added session name to that, right? Doesn't add it to the default view. List in the ribbon, modify view. Session name. Okay. So now I've added session name to my default view. This is the site column content type. All this stuff is now wired up together. Right? So I'm going to go back into the list and delete it. Because if you remember from a feature deployment scenario when you're doing site infrastructure assets, if you use a site column and then you uninstall the feature, it's still there. It doesn't remove it because you'll break stuff. So what will happen in this instance, if I didn't delete this list, it would still be there after I close my browser and go back to the IDA. So I physically delete this here from the settings. Delete this list. Yep. And now I'll close it up. It's going to go run through my recycled. If you recycle the app pool, gets it a lot of memory, that kind of stuff. Questions? Sir. So there was a, let me see if I can bring it up again. I just looked at this last night. There's hopefully I won't break it. No. No, that's not it. I think I just broke it. Okay, oops. That's your feature receiver. It's kind of a little bit of a misnomer because it's an event receiver. List item, web, and it escapes me again where I could find it right here. Their site, I can't remember if they added a site created event. There was always a site deleted event. I can't remember if there was a site created. List, item, email, those. Email is already there. Let's remove this feature receiver. It's a little bit of a misnomer in this case because if I right-click the feature and say add event receiver, normally that was called feature receivers, and the event receivers were the list, the item, the web. So it's, to me, it was a little confusing. It could be the time of day. But I would have expected to say feature receiver. So what I want to do, though, is I want to add an event receiver. You guys remember list? There it is right there. Right? Now it's going to walk you through another wizard. What do you want to call it? Here it is. These are the events that we have now. So now we got workflow events. There you go. So list, item, email, web, and workflow events now, right? Not only do you pick the type of event you want to play with, you know, what is the specific event you're looking for? So we're going to stick with item. You guys remember the whole sync, asynchronous type of discussion. Is being, was. So there's your distinction, right? So we're playing with the added, the was added. Oh, I didn't. Oh, isn't it? Yeah. So item move. I don't remember. I think it was. I think the item events, so I did this talk a year and a half ago on event receivers. I threw up the whole list of them. I think item moves is one of them. The item events are the ones with the most events around them. Site had like site deleted and site moved, list created, but the item ones were the real big ones. So here, wired everything up, created my class, put in my namespaces, all my usings and such. Even created my added, and there's my base. So I just need to add code, right? So I'm going to go into my docs here again, pull up some code that I have. Oops. Fat finger. One save. I'm going to add that to my class here. So my item out of event is going to say, all right, find me my session name column and add that to it and then update it. Right? So let's see if this builds and deploys. Since we added the event receiver at the top here before, that wasn't really part of my script, so hopefully that won't break this because I deleted it. Say F5. Question. As far as we've been able to tell and look at the dialog boxes that came up earlier that was asked, this is all in the one box. It should be on the one box altogether. It does let you say point to your local, and maybe we can spin up a new project at the end and I'll show you that. It says point to your local site for debugging. The local was the keyword that said, all right, this is all in the same box. So we're back in here again. Just to show you everything's wired up, let's go back into my list. Let's change the view to include session name. Hit OK. Let's add a new item. Everybody likes the pie for popular Hello World, right? We hit save. Oh, it didn't work. This worked last night. Oh, it dropped off? Oh. Is it back? Awesome. Debugging on the fly during a demo. Okay. So let's figure out why that didn't work. So let's go back to site actions, site settings. All of our features are in here, right? There's my features. Let's go back to the list and let's delete the list again. List, settings. Who's played with 2010 so far, beta? How do you like the ribbon? It does take a little bit getting used to. I personally keep on looking for the action bar. Like, all right. Because the ribbon now blows out all those options, whereas before it said settings and then you bring it down and those are the different items there. The ribbon blows all that stuff out for you. Let's force a retraction just for the heck of it. So here's our event receiver, here's our item added, here's our properties, here's our feature, list definition, event receiver, item added, sequence number, sequence number is firing the order in which to fire the events, and they say start it, I think it was 1,000 up. So you don't hit any of the ones that are part of the box. Did it? Or that could be a very slow box. Let's try that again. Nothing up my sleeve? Then the event should be called slowly item added. So let's go back and change the view. Session name. Hit OK. Our view has it. Say add new item. My title. Hit save. Huh. Correct. Thank you. I'm looking at that. Everybody sees the bigger picture. So there's our little item receiver, item event receiver working. And when you go back into Visual Studio, well, let's clear this out real quick. Oh, I was just impatient. So I kind of talked about this a little bit before. When you use features and solutions to provision site assets, by default, they're not removed unless you physically code that, right? So the classic example is, say I created a custom master page and I deploy that via feature solution and people can pick it and use it in their pages across their sites. Now I've removed my feature and solution again. Do I remove the actual master page? No, because everybody that's been using it will never be able to get to their stuff again. It'll break it. So it leaves those assets on the system when they're used. So if you disregard this for a second, if you remember in the earlier examples of the site column and the content type, we just saw them appear in the galleries. We did not use them. So when I closed down the browser and I went through the whole retraction process, they weren't in the galleries anymore. They weren't used. If, during my debugging, I created a new list and used that content type and then closed the browser, those would still exist because they're in use. So for example, this list here, I should have changed this because it's not really instance per se. This list is based off of the list definition, say a list instance, right? If I close the browser now, and then I fire up the browser again to go directly into Contoso 2, right, not using the IDE, I'll see this list. But when I click it, it kind of breaks because it doesn't have anything behind the scenes. That was a bug that I found earlier. I can show you that at the end because I'm going to break it now. So what I've been doing during the demo as well is you need to delete the list. So kind of earlier in the discussion we had in terms of deployment and testing and debugging, right? So everything's done locally from a feature development standpoint, right? So this kind of leads in towards how many features do you put in a solution, how large is your team, and again, different schools of thought. I personally like doing one-to-one, so that way you're not stepping on toes, and people can kind of come back and forth with that kind of discussion. There's not really a wrong way per se, it just depends upon your environment. Again, I personally like one-to-one. Sometimes I'll group them together based upon business context. So here's my site columns feature. Here's my content type feature based on those site columns. So I'll add an activation dependency. And somebody had asked that question, and I'll show you that real quick. So I'll make sure that those two features are wired together based on that dependency, and I'll put that in the same solution. Because to me, they make sense going together. So I close this out now. And I look at my feature again. Everything gets wired up automatically. All right, so none of the, again, the whole copying, pasting, remembering GUIs, remembering structure, remembering that kind of stuff. Not within the same feature, because this governs the scope. So you create a new feature. Now, there are challenges and issues in terms of activation dependencies, and I'll show you that in a second. If they're within the same scope, you can kind of force that. If they're in different scopes, you can't. Right? Next time again. Apologize. So let me try and show you. So real quick, somebody had asked earlier about how do you add a new feature. So now I have two features, and I'm just doing this just to get the GUID to play with, right? So I have a new feature. These are all the items in the solution. This is the feature I'm in now, feature 2, right? This would have given me a GUID, a new GUID. If you look at the manifest, there's my new GUID, right? So say I'm building that secondary feature that this feature 2 is the one that holds my content types, and feature 1 is the one that holds the site columns. So ideally, you want to say, all right, I should never be able to activate feature 2 unless feature 1 is already there because feature 2 uses those site columns. There's our activation dependency. Before you had to write that node and remember and copy the GUIs and stuff. So here I'm saying, all right, in this feature, let me bring up the designer, manifest, options. Where'd it go? Just did this last night. Oh, here you go. Here's something. Make sure you scroll down. Also, you don't see the bottom there. I would have thought they would have framed that. So feature activation dependencies. Scroll down again. I now have a little grid, and I can say add. It recognizes the fact if you have other features within the current Visual Studio solution you have, and I can now just pick it and go, right? So I'm going to wire up my dependent features all together in the same solution. Or the custom dependency is just basically, it's somewhere already installed in the system, might have done previously from a previous person. I'm going to wire it up, give it the title, give it the GUI, give it the description, hit go, right? So when I say this guy and hit add, it adds it down at the bottom. Now looking back in the manifest, there's my activation dependencies, and it does all that stuff again for you. So you take them individually, they look like the little things that are happening, no big deal. But in the course of a day when you're doing a lot of this stuff, it really helps because you're no longer going back and forth, remembering numbers, stapling stuff, copying and pasting. It really facilitates a better way to do your dev. Yes, sir? Correct. So and the question was, is this functionality that's offered available in professional, or is it a specific Visual Studio version? Did I get that right? Awesome. Pro and up. And if I remember my web page, because I looked at it last night, I think it actually just starts with Pro. Right? There is nothing below Pro. Pro, you said premium, ultimate. This is ultimate RC. Yeah, they didn't show that on, I don't know why they didn't bring that up, or even show it on them. Express to nowhere. I didn't say that. Sorry. Somebody had asked a question about what the SP datas are. These are specifically related to the XML files that they're under. It shows you kind of like the internals of it. There's our multiple features within one package. Oh, and just so we're not really doing anything smoke and mirrors-y, when you create a package, it's your WSP file, right? So even with show all, now where is it, right? Here's my PDB, here's my DLL. So if I go into Explorer, Documents, My Documents, does my 2010, Projects, C, I think it's Bin, Debug, Bingo. Right? Sir? So the question is, can I take the WSP file and deploy it manually? Yes. Into production. So, which is kind of funny considering if this talk came before Satish's, Satish's talk was all about TFS, continuous integration, build, and all that. So you could do it that way too. But, you know, in terms of deploying solutions, when you give it to an IT admin or stuff like that, ideally, best case, right? They're going to ask you, what's it do? Give me a little bit of a code walkthrough. Don't just give me a WSP and a batch file and say install. Because, you know, you throw in the right code access security or whatever and people are not looking at what you're doing and you really feel a little bit disgruntled that day. Who knows what could happen, right? So, yes, you can take that and run with it and install it wherever SharePoint is, as long as all the relevant related assets are there. So, for example, if this solution had a feature dependency on a previous feature that was installed via a different solution and it's not where you're going, what would happen? So this is actually already in the bin folder. You just don't show it within the IDE. But again, you wire this up with like MS Build, Continuous Integration, TFS, all that stuff handles from this point promoting it to a different environment. I got 7 minutes. Sorry for the, go ahead, question. You don't have to. And that is, so it depends on where you are. You're either writing these specific command files for your deployment, your undeployment, your retraction, that stuff. All that's wired into the IDE. Right, so the answer to that would be TFS and MS Build to do all that kind of stuff, or something like that, or manual. So, real quick, and I don't have anything on this one. What you would possibly do is, there's two ways to do it now because of 2010. 2010, and you guys are all familiar with SDSADM, command line, that stuff, right? How many of you guys play with PowerShell? All right, so everybody else that didn't raise their hand, start playing PowerShell. Because PowerShell is the new way to do your administration and management of SharePoint at the command line. Okay, SDSADM is deprecated. Still supported, nothing new going forward. Okay, so spin up on your PowerShell real quick. When you install 2010, I believe all the bits are there to do PowerShell scripting. I didn't go into that. That's actually another talk I was thinking of doing maybe next month. But spin up real quick. And if you can, and we've been trying to do this in some places as well with our 2007 implementations, use PowerShell. Because the sooner you get into doing it, right, the sooner you get into the habit of features and solutions, PowerShell, things of that nature, it facilitates going to a 2010, right? PowerShell, the way to do administration come 2010. Sir? The PowerShell management console comes with, you know what? It comes with SharePoint, but it's part of SharePoint. It's part of the OS. It's part of 2008. So SPSA ADM comes with SharePoint. Right. So, well, no, it's not dependent on SPSA ADM. Right. And actually, so let me see if this works. So real quick, let me bring this up real quick because everybody was kind of talking about this, and then I'll address feature stapling really quick. So here's one of the links I had at the end. It's all the commandlets for PowerShell features and solution stuff. So get SP feature, enable it, disable it. So these are your commandlets for PowerShell. That's at the end of the slides. CodePlex is your friend for anything SharePoint.
So if you want to build or take the CodePlex start and then for administration going forward, build the basic scripts and move from there.
And then real quick, feature stapling. That's not wired into the IDE. You still have to do it manually. So much like adding a generic element, then you add your stuff after that. Or caveat, I was not able to find it in my wanderings around through the IDA. Quarter after 11, just about. I think I'm about to roll out. Any other questions? None, too. I hope this was informative for you folks. It was kind of back and forth a little bit. I apologize for the technical difficulties. That's Dell's fault. But, again, I appreciate you guys for showing up early on a Saturday on a really nice day coming out there. Enjoy the rest of your day. Have a lot of food. Enjoy the speakers. Have a good time today. Thank you very much.